Father, in the name of Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I thank you. Thank you, Lord, for our gathering together today. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. We ask, O Lord, that the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh on us, will inspire us in the word of the Lord and in the message of the Lord. And as always, we declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be today in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. I want to encourage us today. Please keep your mics closed. I want to encourage us today to press forward. We'll keep pressing forward. Yesterday we talked about, you know, pressing forward, going further and moving higher. Well, I want to talk today about still pressing forward daily and leaving the past behind you. Now, you know, we're going to just call out a few things which, you know, we all should know already, but just call them out anyway. The key verse that we are dealing with today, and just like we started with yesterday, it was from Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13 and 14 also. Paul said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I mean, in other words, I've not arrived, so to speak. But there is something that I do, he said. You know, this one thing I do. Well, what is the one thing? Well, he said, forgetting those things which are behind. In other words, leave the past behind. And reaching forth unto those things, you know, that are in front of me. I'm keep pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So the lesson here is, and I'm going to share a few scriptures to encourage us to say a few words about that. The lesson here is really to move forward beyond your past. There's a lot of people that cannot move beyond their past. And that's a problem. Now, addressing this spiritually speaking first, we also address it naturally. But Paul is saying here, look, the things that are behind me, it could be whatever things. They could be failures. They could also be successes. You know, whatever things are behind, they are behind. We need to focus on what's ahead of us. You know, sometimes we focus too much on the successes that we've already achieved, which is kind of like resting on your oars. You know, we've done some things and then we relax. No. And sometimes we've had some setbacks, you know, and some failures. Then we are discouraged. No. So for either one of those situations, whether the things in the past were the good things or they were the not so savory things, you know, there's an exhortation we want to bring today on how to handle. You know, and from Paul's perspective, he said, look, where I am today is where I am, but that's not where I will be. I know that yesterday is gone, forgetting those things which are behind, you know, and right now I got to push forward to the things, you know, that are in front of me, and I got to keep pressing forward. Let's talk about first the things that are in the past, like yesterday. For some of us, we're just getting up in the morning today. Some of you may already be halfway through the day, but each day when you get up in the morning, just think about it. Yesterday, whatever that yesterday was, is gone. You cannot undo it. I mean, you really can't go back and change your actions from yesterday as though you were still in yesterday. Now, you can learn from those things and you can, you know, you can just figure some things out. Well, okay, let's say something we did didn't quite work out. We don't necessarily need to see it as a failure. You can see it as a lesson. A lesson in life of how that does not work. You know, so a positive attitude all the time rather than a negative posture. If something didn't work, I don't need to see it as though it was a failure. I just need to see it as a lesson learned. So we can always get a positive reaction to make a positive reaction to anything. So I did something yesterday that didn't quite work out. Whatever it was, I lost some money, I lost some favor, I lost an opportunity, whatever. I know. I wish, you know, it's what people think, go back in time and do it. Well, you can't. So since you can't, well, then what? Well, you got to learn from it. That's all. Learn from it and use the lessons learned. I mean, each one of us can determine. Remember when we were doing the book of Philippians? Philippians 4:8 was one of our memory verses. What things soever are of good report, are true, are honest, have any praise, are virtue, and all those things. Those are the things you think of. Don't focus on the negative things. Focus on the positive things. Now, once the day is past, you are now in today. And as a matter of fact, today is all we have. It's always today. It can never be yesterday, and it can never be tomorrow. From your perspective, it's always today. That's why 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Now, God may tell you about tomorrow, but you can never really be in tomorrow. When you get to tomorrow, it'll be today. You know, so I remember this story, and I think I might have shared it once before. I was in college. My friend with whom we shared the room, we were studying late at night. And he looked at the clock or whatever. It was a few minutes before midnight. And he says, I thought we were already in tomorrow. So just a few minutes before we get to tomorrow. And I said, you can't be in tomorrow. You will never be in tomorrow. And we started to argue about something that, you know, we didn't even need to argue about. He was just arguing about it. But I knew what I was saying because, you know, when the clock strikes midnight, that 5 minutes ago you thought was tomorrow, when you get there, it will still be today. It's always today. You know, so you can't be in tomorrow and you can't be in yesterday. Those things are reference points only. Reference point. God is the only one that can be in yesterday, be in today, and be in tomorrow at the same time. At the same time, he can do it. Now, you haven't learned that trick yet. And you're not going to learn it. You can't do it. Now, a prophet, though. See, this is the thing. When you are in that prophetic dimension, it is an attribute of God. That prophet can go not only in the future. People think that prophets can only go in the future. No. A real prophet, it can go in the past like that. Right? how do you think Moses wrote all the things about Genesis? Was he there? He was not there, you know. So God can write the future down in paper, show it to a prophet, and they can declare it. Or God can speak it, can declare it. God can even take them in a dimension to the past. And they can go in those zones, you know. But you see, even the greatest prophet, they can't stay there. It's impossible. God can give them a flash, a moment. They can see the past. Yeah. Especially when God wants to reveal, you know, something and reveal it, you know. But they can't dwell in the past. It's impossible. And, well, one attribute of a prophet is a future dimension. So they can see the future. They can declare it. They can even, you know, dramatize it or participate in some kind of thing as though they were already there. But they are not there. You know, they're only where right now everybody is in today. And that's where you can be. Tomorrow, when tomorrow comes, it will still be today. Now, today is Thursday, say, tomorrow is Friday. When you get to Friday, it will still be today. When you get to Saturday, it will still be today. It will always be today. Now, that also means that yesterday is yesterday. Yesterday cannot be today. So, what are you going to do next? See, this is the thing. Well, Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19 says, remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. I mean, they are in the past. Now, there are some times when God will tell you to call to remember the former thing, because he wants you to pay attention to something, learn something from there. But in this place, he's telling you not to dwell in the past. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, saith the Lord, I will do a new thing. That's right. Now, that's one of our memory key verses for today. Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19. I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And those are things that people, you know, say, well, how can God make a way in the wilderness? How can he make rivers in the desert? Well, God said, I can do it. But he said, you know, get away from focusing on the former things. The things of old, they're gone. Things of yesterday, it's gone. I say to people this way, get your finger off that rewind button. You know, back in the day, in the olden days, not so olden, but see, yes, actually I still have one of those devices here in my office. I use it to listen to cassettes. You know, some messages that were on cassettes. So I keep some of these old devices around, you know, cassettes, you know, tape player. I still have those things because, you know, there are some messages that are only on those media that I need to listen to. So, but they have this thing called the rewind button, right? It's an amazing button, but, you know, it can be a tricky button, you know, because when you're listening to something, you can pause and you can rewind. And you can rewind and listen to the thing again. Well, guess what? In real life, you can't rewind. So I often tell people, get your finger off that rewind button. In real life, get your finger off of it. Many people are always rewinding their past, reliving the past, and so on. If you're going to rewind it at all, well, here's the rewind that you should do. Rewind it completely erase it and rewrite over it new memories. But constantly rewinding the past, and some people do that too. Even in our relationships, we're always doing that. Can't forgive, always going back to the past, and so forth. Always living in the past, you know. Always living in the past. In fact, you cannot be saved, you know, if you continue to live in the past. You can't do it. Because 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. That's right. All things are passed away. You know, and behold, everything is now new. So if you're going to live in the past, you really can't be saved. You know, you can't be. You've got to let go of the past. All things are passed away. You put your hands on the plow, Jesus said in Luke 9 and 62. You put your hands on the plow already, and you keep looking back. He said, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Think about that. It's a powerful, it's actually a dreadful statement, because many of us do that. Many of us are actually always looking back. You know, and Jesus said, no, you're not fit for the kingdom. You're always looking back. And he warned them in Luke 17 and 30 to say, remember Lot's wife. What was the thing about Lot's wife? Well, the angel said, escape for your life. Don't look back. Escape. They were all escaping, but this one stopped and looked back. It did not end well for her. She became a pillar of salt. Perhaps it was some atomic fallout or whatever. You know, she should have escaped for her life. It was told, don't look back. Escape into the hills for your life. And Jesus just pointed and said, look, remember Lot's wife. You can't, you know, you can't live in the past. You know, when you come to Christ, Christ makes a clean break. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That was the second, maybe first or second scripture I learned as a young man trying to give my life to Christ. Two scriptures, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. By grace are we saved, you know, through faith, you know, the gift of God and not of yourselves, lest any man should boast, that kind of thing. And then the other one was this one, you know, if any man be in Christ, and they hammered it into our heads back then. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. You can't live your old life anymore. Yeah, I used to hammer it back in my head back in the days of the scripture, you know. Being Christ is an old, your old days are gone. A new man now, new man in Christ, you know. And we would read, you know, scriptures, you know, to tell us that we're a new man, you know. So even salvation teaches us those things, you know. A new man in Christ, created after Christ in righteousness and true holiness. A new creature in Christ. Wow. So that tells you that, you know, if you're constantly living in the past, number one, you can't move forward, and you can't even move forward in Christ. You're always living in the past. Did you know that how God dealt with his people in the Old Testament, some of the lessons we read in the Bible for our instructions today, it was like he wanted them to make a separation in the past. When he called Abraham, he said, I'm going to send you to a place. Get away from here. Leave the past behind. Now, Abraham said, well, where am I going? So, well, I'm taking you somewhere. You are going to have to trust me. So, God didn't tell him exactly where, but he told him, leave the past. You know, that's one thing that was clear. It wasn't clear where he was going, but it was clear that he had to leave the past alone. That part was very clear. Get out from this place and go somewhere. Well, where is that somewhere? Well, I will show you. But you got to leave the past alone. And you got to, in this message, though, we're saying you got to move forward. That's what we're saying here. You know, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 1, God dealing with the people as a group now. You know, and sometimes he dealt with some people as individuals. Sometimes he dealt with them as a group. He dealt with the children of Israel as a group. You know, and he said to them in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 1, ye have dwelt long enough on this mountain. Huh? It's time for you to move forward. Some people have dwelt in their past, always dwell in the past. Always their finger on that rewind button. Now, when God wants to deal with you and, you know, wants to show you, you know, what he's got for you, your life, as far as God's concerned, it's what are you going to do next? That's what's concerned. You know, when Moses ran away from Egypt after what he did and everything, many, many years, and then when finally an encounter with God, and God was going to send him back. Moses didn't want to go back because he knew what was in his past. You know, but God wasn't talking to him about his past. God was talking to him about his future. What are you going to do next? That's the question. You know, not where you've been, but where you are and where you're going. And so, you know, Moses was escaping the wheels of justice because he knew he killed an Egyptian. You can't do that, you know. So, and but when God challenged him to go back, that he had a mission for him, God wasn't talking to him about you killed somebody in your past. God was just telling him what you're going to do now is what I tell you. You know, you gotta leave that in the past. It was difficult for Moses to shake that past, but I mean, think about it. There was an arrest warrant on his head, you know, and he ran away. And for many years, he thought, well, you know, I don't want to deal with that. Well, yeah, it's a good thing you did leave that behind. But when you come face to face with God, don't be thinking about that. What God is interested in is what are you going to do next? You know, are you going to take the step forward with Christ or are you going to keep looking back? One man said, you know, in Luke chapter 9, there were many stories there of different people that either Jesus called or the ones that wanted to follow Jesus. One of them said, I will follow you, but let me go home first and bid my family farewell. And Jesus said, no man, having put his hands on the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Leave your past alone. Make a clean break and go forward. So you got to get your finger off that rewind button, you know, and make new memories or, you know, remember the good things and the pleasant things and the things of virtue and the things that were good report and the things that were of praise, the things that were, you know, honest and stuff like that. Leave those negative things behind. You know, that's one lesson from today. The other part of the lesson is this pressing forward part. You know, what does that mean? Well, pressing forward also means, you know, whatever your hand finds doing, you do it well. That's also part of pressing forward. In the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 9, verse 10, it says, whatsoever thy hand finds to do, do it with all thy might. You know, do it all thy might. He said, because, look, you can only do it while you're alive. You can't do this thing in the grave. So do it now, he said. You know, give it your best effort. Everything that you're doing right now, as a young man, my dad used to tell me that, you know, whatever is worth doing. His own language was, whatever is worth doing is worth doing well. Give it your best effort. Don't do anything half-heartedly. So I grew up with that concept, to the glory of God, I became a doer. I actually wanted to everything I did to be perfect, because he say, well, do it well. Do it with all your heart. Do it as unto the Lord. Don't just, do it anyhow. So now, what does that mean to you in your life? In your life, what is that going to mean to you? Well, what are the things that you have to deal with right now that are in your life? How are you dealing with those things? Sometimes we may be dealing with those things with half our mind or half of our, just half-heartedly. In other words, you don't really want to do it. You're just doing it. It's like, well, if it works, fine. If it doesn't, fine. And if you do it like that, then might as well not do it at all. But it's kind of like an athlete that is training. They can't train with the mind of, well, let me just train anyhow. If I win, fine. If not, fine. Well, might as well not, because you're not going to win with that kind of attitude. You go in there. I mean, I've seen some of the, athletes that, that do very well lately. I watch track and field because I love that one. And I've seen how some of them exude so much confidence. They just believe that, they can take anybody on that track. they got their eyes set, They come out there not just to participate, they come to win. That's right. Paul said, look, when you're running the race, run to win. Run to win. So there are many people that run in a race, but many participate. When I was in high school, I was into many different sports. And I played some team sports at the first and so on. Then I went to track and field so I could do some individual excellence on my own, some of the events. But, there was this slogan that some coaches used to say, well, they would just tell us that, look, enjoy the game, you'll be there, compete, and so forth. It didn't go far enough for me. Sometimes they just say, well, look, you just enjoy the moment. Come give it your best or compete. Well, that was good, but it wasn't good enough. I wanted to compete to win. because my dad also used to say, the others, do they have two heads? They don't have two heads. Okay. So if I competed, I wanted to win. Not just compete. Do it with all your mind. Compete. Be the best. Don't just be a competitor. Be the winner. And not just a winner. Be the winner. And so when you have those kinds of attitudes, well, whatever you do, don't be weary. Galatians 6:9 will also tell you that. Don't be weary. Do whatever you're doing, do it well. In due season, you're going to reap something. No, if you faint not. And many scriptures that encourage us to be steadfast, to do what we need to do. For instance, 1 Corinthians 15 and 58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. As much as your labor is not in vain. What does unmovable mean? Well, Paul said, look, none of these things move me. I'm not moved. I'm going to keep pressing forward. There are some people, I've seen some young people that get discouraged. Every discouragement, they just, give up. The first hardship that they meet, they give up. I mean, people like that, and I'm going to get very far in life. In fact, I'm going to tell you some other things today. Maybe strange, but I will. People who you're doing something and you hit a roadblock or something falls apart and you give up. That kind of person is not going to get very far, because life is full of situations like that. You know, if you're waiting that the road will always be smooth, there will never be any barriers, there will not be any hardship, no setback. Well, think again. You will not get far, because the road is full of exactly those things. And as a matter of fact, God himself will actually set. It's not only the devil. You know, when we're trying to do something and it's like all kinds of challenges, and we try to discern those things and say, well, you know, I mean, the enemy shall not exact me upon this and so forth. Gates must be broken, the bars of iron must be cracked, and I must go forward. Well, that's good, and we must do that. And I teach that all the time. But it's not always the devil that puts those things there. In fact, sometimes when God calls you to do something, he will put up those things. We'll see what you got. He'll put up those things. That's right. You know, you say, well, but God called me. So what? You know, those things will be there. That's why you got to pray. You know, Lord, help me through every situation. And give me the strength. Because when God sent Moses to Egypt, he told him point blank, you're going to go out there to get my people out. But Pharaoh is not going to let you go. As a matter of fact, I will harden his heart. Now, are you kidding me? How can you tell me to go do something and you put an opposition in my way? Now, many people forget that it was God that hardened the heart of Pharaoh. And that was an opposition against the very thing that God told Moses to go and do. Moses was told, go up against Pharaoh and tell him, let my people go. But I guarantee you, he will not let you go, because I will harden his heart. Then why are you sending me there for? You know, so sometimes God, especially when you have something that is, you know, directly aligned with God's divine purposes, not just some small, small things, directly aligned with God's purposes, God will put opposition in your way. That's right. That's what he said, I will harden his heart. Jesus, I mean, think of Jesus. You know, we knew even before the world began, God knew what he was going to do. The lamb was slain before the world began, but his life was full of jeopardy. From the time he was a baby, somebody was trying to kill him. He had to run to Egypt, you know. Joseph was told, carry the baby and his mother and flee to Egypt. Stay there until I bring you word again, because there are people there that want to kill him. Why? This is what he came for. Why did anybody like to have to kill him for? I mean, God should just, you know, make everything smooth. No. You know, and everywhere he went, people were always taking up stones to try to kill him. You know, that's it. And yet, he had a mission from God. And so just because, you know, God is directing you into the purpose that he called you for, doesn't mean that you're not going to meet oppositions. And just because you met an opposition yesterday, doesn't mean that it's not God's will for you to do it. Sometimes we try to measure, you know, the will of God as to, you know, the kind of obstacles that we find. Well, if it's God's will, everything will go well. That's the farthest thing from the truth. It may go well, and it may not go well. That's not what determines whether it's God's will or not. You know, God's will is God's will. You got to figure that out. Not by the circumstances. Our lives cannot be you know, determined. I mean, who you are, let me just put it this, who you are is not determined by what happens to you. Who you are is who you are. What happens is what happens. You know, so, I mean, these things happen to everybody. You know, happens to everybody. The difference though is that if you're a believer and you have the Holy Spirit, He will help you. It's not, doesn't mean that you won't have these same issues. You won't have the same issues. Jesus said it himself. John 16 and 33. In the world, ye shall have tribulation, just like everybody. You know, you're not, you know, your life's not going to be a cakewalk or walk in the park or any such thing. But yeah, it tells you that they don't know what they're talking about. You know, so that's why sometimes we pray and pray and pray to avert the evil, you know, because you can't just assume that everything will be good just because God sent you on a mission. When God sent you on a mission, exactly the devil, he may even be God testing you. But the devil will also take advantage of the test too. Or whatever it is. But you must make up your mind. I got my mind made up. You can't stop me. I'm going in the strength of the Lord. Isaiah knew he had this mindset, but he also knew where his help was coming from. And I gave this memory verse a couple years ago in Isaiah 50 and 7. I said, look, I know this man, he was assured, because God already told him in earlier chapters, in chapter 41, from verses 10 to 13 and so on, God told him, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. So he knew that going in. Well, based on what God already told him, well, he armed himself with that, you know, encouragement. And he said, well, I know the Lord God will help me. I know it. Therefore, I will not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face as a flint. Set your face as a flint is, look, I'm not looking one way or the other. I'm looking straight on. I got my game face on. I'm not going to be bothered by anything because I know the Lord is going to help me, and I will not be confounded. I will not be ashamed. But it doesn't mean that, it doesn't mean that stuff's not going to happen. A lot of stuff will happen. You will have to make up your mind how you're going to deal with the stuff. You know, we cannot be defined by stuff that happens around us, you know. So these things will happen, and to everybody. But if you are a child of God and filled with His Spirit, God will teach you how to rely on Him. Proverbs 3 and 5, for instance, says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Well, you must acknowledge the Lord, and you must lean upon Him, because you're going to have this stuff. It happens to everybody. You know, Solomon wrote many things, you know, and the book of Ecclesiastes are full of many things. They tell us that, look, you know, sometimes even almost on the edge of negative, because he was always talking about vanity, 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 all this stuff, you know, but there was some wisdom in a lot of wisdom in many of the things that he said, you know. So all these things happen to us. I returned and saw under the sun, he said in one place, the race is not to the swift, the battle is not to the strong. Well, come on now. The race is to the swift. You know, I mean, if you're running a 100-meter dash, you better be swift. You better get out the starting blocks first, and you better stay ahead. Otherwise, You'll be seeing the back of your opponents. But he said, no, that's not how it works in the spiritual realm. And he was right. You know, but naturally we think, well, I mean, the fastest will always win. No, the strongest will always win. No, but that's what we think. That's why he said those things. The race is not always to the swift. The battle is not always to the strongest. In fact, we saw places where, you know, the strongest person didn't always win. I mean, David versus Goliath. I mean, we saw Jehoshaphat versus Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. I mean, we saw all these things. So the children of Israel versus, you know, chariots of, you know, of Egypt. I mean, God is the one that gives us the grace. But he says here also that, look, there is something, time and chance happeneth to them all. Well, that's the part that I'm pulling out here. These things happen to everybody, good and evil. Good things happen to bad people. And bad things happen to good people. But you can't, if you have experienced bad things, you can't define your life like that. You got to move on. And even if you did experience good things, well, you still got to move on. Because if you stay on those things, you will never increase. Just say, oh, well, you have already apprehended. Well, then you are not going to press forward. So we got to keep pressing forward. I mean, Paul was always wanting to press forward. What are you going to do next? That's a question I'm going to ask you. What are you going to do next? Worry about yesterday's failures? No. You are going to hear God's voice for the now. What is God saying now, today? And God will give you new instructions for different seasons. Instruction I gave yesterday may be different from today. You know, so you got to figure out what is God saying now. And we must push forward in our efforts, in anything that we are doing, whatever your hands find doing. Do it well, you push forward, you don't let setbacks define, you know, your race. And I've told the story of, you know, a women's United States relay team in some Olympics in the past, that they dropped the baton in one of the qualifying rounds because a competing team bumped against them. And they lost the race. But before it was all over, they actually won a gold in that race because they would not give up. A veteran that was there went and told the person that dropped the baton, pick up the baton and finish the race. Pick up the baton and finish the race. The race is over. I said, yeah, finish the race anyhow. So pick up the baton and they just trotted down. The race was already over. Everybody was laughing them to scorn. Well, the veteran knew what she was doing. They went and filed a protest. And I had the, you know, officials review the tape or the recording. And they saw that somebody, the team that was to their side, had actually bumped against the one person, the incoming person that were bringing the baton, bumped against that person and caused them to drop the baton. It wasn't that they dropped the baton on their own. Got them out of, you know, their own zone and stability. And when they reviewed the tape, they said, oh, it really wasn't their fault. So you're going to get an opportunity. But you see, they can't bring everybody back to rerun the race. You already ran the race. So what we're going to do, though, is you're going to run that race again. This time, you'll be the only one. You run the race. And we'll check your time. And if your time is better than the time of the least qualified time, then you'll get in. Yeah, so they ran the race again. This time around, they were the only one. They put them in the same track. I mean, same lane that they were before. Ran the game by this. This time, they have no argument to say somebody bumped into me. Well, they qualified. They went into the finals. By the time they got into the finals, all the lanes had been assigned. They got the worst lane, which is lane zero. The sharpest turn. But they won the gold. Because one person would not be denied. Said, pick up the baton and finish the race. And they didn't say, well, we lost the baton, we lost the race. That no. Push forward. Gotta press forward. And interesting real life story. And I enjoy that story every time I think about it. Praise the Lord. Now, in the book of Colossians chapter 3, similar to what Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 10 says, Colossians chapter 3, you know, verse 22 also says this, or 23. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. Whatever you do, push with your, you know, best effort. Do it heartily as unto the Lord. Whether it's prayer, whether it's, you know, whatever the Lord has put in your hand to do. If you are called to prayer, do it with all your heart. If you are called to ministry, Romans chapter 12 says, wait on your ministry. Whatever it is, do it with all your heart. And then in our personal lives, the same thing. We got to do these things with all our hearts. Give it everything you got. Leave it all out there. Praise God. And get away from living in your past. That's not going to help. Can't do that. You know, so consider the word of the Lord that says, you know, I gave it to you as a memory verse, Isaiah 43 and 18, 19. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. That means don't live in the past. Behold, I will do a new thing. Every day the Lord can do a new thing. And we got to look for that new thing. Shall spring forth and shall you not know it. So that's what we're looking for. Every day a new thing. Now, it's not that you haven't heard the message like this. You haven't, or you yourself haven't told yourself this like before. But God's telling you today. This is the message of the hour. Don't live in the past. Press forward. Get your hand off that rewind button. Press forward. Press forward, press forward. You know, what are the challenges that we are facing today? Well, it's a good thing to sometimes consider victories of the past. It's not that that's never good. That's good. That's useful if you can use it to encourage yourself. I mean, David used the victories of the past to encourage himself. You know, so you can't say you forget the past altogether. No, you find whatever things are true. Whatever things are of good report, whatever things are of virtue, whatever things are of praise, in that past. And then, well, you use that to encourage yourself for the present. The victory over the lion, the victory over the bear, to encourage me against this Goliath. You know, but, you know, you will be doing yourself a disservice if the things that you are recalling from the past were the things where you fell flat on your face, and the devil will be quick to remind you. You can't do that. Remember the last time you did it? It didn't work. You know, remember you've tried it two or three times and it didn't work. And some people are trying to take some professional exams. They've tried it once or twice. They didn't make it. The devil tells them, you can't make it. Remember, you've done it once. You failed. You did it again. You failed. What makes you think you're going to pass now? You're going to fail again. Don't even waste your money. That's what the devil will be telling you. But what should your answer be? Your answer should be, that was then, but this is now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's always my answer. Well, that was then, but this is now. Today is a new day. Hallelujah. I'm not dwelling. I'm not be defined by my past, especially if that past was negative. I'm not dwelling in the failures of the past. I am going to take this test. I'm going to retake it and I'm going to pass it. Glory to God. Well, you could have passed it the first time too. You know, maybe if you did a little more diligence, but in any case, you know, are you going to let the devil throw up all these things in your face? No. Are you going to stand and say, get thee behind me, Satan? That's right. Now, the devil needs to hear that from many more of us in many more situations. And he will get behind you. You don't want the devil in your face. Get him behind you. Hallelujah. And get him behind me. I'm going forward. I'm going all the way. Don't even try. You can't do it. I'm not. You can't stop me. I'm not run through troops, bulldoze walls, or anything. You put up anything against me, I'm going through. Yeah, don't even think you can do it. Now, that's the winner's attitude. Press forward. Always pressing forward. God be the glory. God be the glory. Now, the Lord says that you will receive the reward of inheritance because you serve the Lord Christ, Colossians 3 and 24. So do keep doing. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the eye of the Lord. And don't let whatever didn't go wrong or didn't go right before, let that hold you back. You know, there are some people, you know, that due to lack of knowledge, they define their entire life based on the circumstances of their birth. They say, well, you know, I was born here, I was born there, or I grew up here, I grew up there. Well, that was then. Today, you got an opportunity to do something about that. Praise God. Stay with there and say, you know, this and that. You know, and sometimes our whole community of people, especially underprivileged ones, they continue to suffer like that because that's the way they think of themselves. Well, think again. If there's any good thing, think of those things. Paul said, look, I can do all things. Well, he didn't one day just wake up and do all things. You know, he had gone through a lot, buffeted on every side, sometimes cast down, but not discouraged. You know, sometimes hungers in hunger and thirst, fastings often in jails, in imprisonment, in shipwrecks, in this and that. I mean, that was a lot of things that he went through. Finally, he said, well, I can do all things. I've learned all these situations, whatever it is, through it all. And I've learned to trust in Jesus, up and down, whatever. But I'm not going to be looking back. I'm looking forward. I'm pressing forward, leaving the past behind. I'm moving forward. And sometimes people don't want to move forward. They go forward, but they're always looking back. The children of Israel, God got them out of Egypt, but there were some evil elements among them. They were trying to get them back to Egypt. Don't follow this Moses. He's going to get you killed in the wilderness. Let's go back to Egypt. Make us gods. And so on. Well, you know, there's always those elements there. What's your response when the devil is trying to make you to be constantly looking back? What's going to be your response? Praise the Lord. Now, here's another aspect that I want to talk about today. I've mentioned it already, but let me drill it down a little bit before we close this exhortation. When God put something in front of you to do, That's the reason why all hell might actually break loose. So just because all hell broke loose doesn't mean it wasn't God. Mark chapter 4 story that we tell all the time. Jesus said, let us pass on to the other side. So there was a statement made by Jesus and a mission. You're going to go to the other side. And there was somebody waiting for them on the other side too. There was a man that was filled with this lot of devils called Legion that Jesus would have to deal with. But the moment that Jesus said, Let us go to the other side. Jesus knew what was waiting on the other side. A devil will raise up all these storms. Now, just because the devil rose up all those storms, does it mean it wasn't God's word that you should go through to the other side? No. So you are the one that's going to have to determine. You can't measure it by, okay, if everything is smooth, then I know it's the will of God. That would be child's dish, because life is not always smooth. You know, what you need to do is, if, answer this question for yourself. If God spoke to you, would you know that it was God's voice? That's the question. Would you know if God spoke to you that it was God's voice? Would you know it? Well, if you do know it, someday I'll come back and deal with that. We've dealt with hearing God's voice in the past. I'll come back and deal with that again. Because that's the important thing. Did God speak to you, or has God spoken to you? My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And no one can pluck them out of my hand, because my Father who gave them to me is greater than all. I mean, these are resounding promises that Jesus gave in John chapter 10. Now, did God speak to you? Has he spoke to you? And some people don't actually know how to discern the voice of God. Well, that's something we need to learn. But once you know that God spoke to you about the thing that he wants you to do, you know, not your mind that's speaking to you, but God spoke to you. And there's many ways that God can speak to you, but God spoke to you. Then it doesn't really matter whether it is smooth or hard. You know, sometimes we back off from the thing because you say, well, no, there's no way in that thing. But God might have told you, go forward. Go forward. How do you go forward through the Red Sea? The Red Sea is in front of me. You're telling me to go forward. God say, yeah, go forward. Wow. So that's it. Those are lessons of life. Just because God's bringing you out of Egypt, taking you somewhere, doesn't mean there's not going to be hardships along the way. There's going to be hardships enough to even want to make you turn back. But are you going to turn back? If you know that God spoke to you, will God remove all the obstacles on your way just because he spoke to you? No. God might even cause those obstacles to come up so that he can show his greater power for you. He said, yeah, I'm going to give me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and so forth. That's the reason why God hardened his heart. It's the same God that sent you to go get his people out of there. The same God that put the obstacle in front of you. I will harden his heart and he will not let you go. No matter what you say to him, but go and tell him my word, but he will not let you go because I will harden his heart. Are you kidding? Well, those are deep lessons of life. God may send you to do something and yet obstacles are on your way. So what? Did God send you? That's the question. God said to Joshua, be of good courage. Have I not commanded you? That's it. You know, you have to go and contend with these people. You know, begin to contend, begin to go and possess, but begin to contend. Deuteronomy 2 and 24. Say, look, go and contend, begin to contend, and so on. But be of good courage. I have spoken to you. I've commanded you. Well, so when the Lord has commanded you to go forward, then you must go forward. Despite the Red Sea, rise up, take up your journey, pass over this river Arnon. Behold, I have given you the land, you know, into thy hand. Deuteronomy 2 and 24. Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. So God already knew, even though he said he had given it to you, he already knew this man is going to fight you to the last. As I say, you have to contend. You are going to possess, but you are going to have to fight for it. Praise the Lord. So in life, we go through things that try to teach us these lessons. When you go to school, you're going to have to take some of these difficult classes at times and do these difficult exams. You know, does that mean it's not God's will for you to go forward? just because you are faced with all these difficult exams and difficult things. And sometimes some people are already advanced in their career, but they are doing some other career development and advancement, and they go back and they face all kinds of things. You know, you wonder, should I be doing that? God asked me to do it just because you faced, you know, hardships. That's not what defines whether it's God's will or not. You need to know what God's will is, period. And whether there is hardship or not, doesn't matter. You know God's will. There will be. There were seven nations, God told them. All these Hittites, Jebusites, Canaanites, Gershites, and all these things. Amorites and so forth. They will be in your way. God already knew it. But I will drive them out. And I will not drive them out all at once. Driving out here a little, there a little. But you keep pressing forward. Glory to God. You know. And on a daily basis, it's the same thing for us. Sometimes you may have some losses and some different things that didn't turn out quite well. Well, you get up in the next day, say, ah, glory to God. What a day. It's a new day. This, you say it to yourself, this now is the day that God has created. Yesterday is gone. Show me the way, Lord. Help me today. One day at a time. And that's all you got. It's today. You know, that's all you got. You got this day. In fact, this moment right here, right now. It's what you got. You know, how long will you halt between two opinions? You say, should I go forward or should I go backwards? Make up your mind already. You're either going forward or you're going backwards. But you can't take two steps forward and three steps backwards. You can't do that. Which one is going to be? But remember, if you put your hands on the plow and you look back, then you're not fit. You know, you're not fit. I told him. One man said, well, I got to go bury the dead. Jesus said, no. Let the dead bury their dead. Now one said, I've got to go tell my family. You know, Jesus said, no. You know, put your hand on the plow, stay there and keep moving forward. Don't look back. He was answering every man according to their own situation. He knew what was in their heart. He knew the thing that was going to keep them back. And what is the thing? What is the thing that you're facing? Praise the Lord. Let's talk about September to remember. September to remember. Just because God called for it doesn't mean we're not going to face all kinds of challenges. I already knew that. You know, I mean, some people didn't know, but I already knew that, you know, going forward, I knew that, my wife knew that, communicated it, people around me, they knew that. Some people standing afar off may not know. We know that, we understand that, praise the Lord. So, you know, there may be all kinds of things. I mean, we're praying, you know, everything will go smoothly. In the moment that we are pressing forward, but pressing forward, all kinds of things may raise up, but it doesn't mean that it's not God's will to go forward. But sometimes maybe an indication, you know, that you are on the right track or the devil's fighting that thing. Or it could be testings, whatever it is. Jesus said, look, when men shall rise up against you and say things falsely for against you for my sake, falsely though, he said, well, rejoice, because that's the way they persecuted the prophets that were ahead of you. And if when everybody say all good things against you, be careful now. So it doesn't necessarily, they call Jesus Beelzebub. They called him all kinds of things, you know, but did that stop him? No, he knew who he was. You got to know who you are. You know, is it, you know, are you listening to what people are saying? You know, that may be discouraging. Is that why you will be doing or not doing? No. So my eyes are set. Praise the Lord. You set my eyes, I've set my eyes on a target. He can't stop me. I'm going in the name of the Lord. And we're going to September to remember. God's already shown great things. Will there be Amorites and Hittites and Hivites and Canaanites and Jebusites and all these things along the way? Yeah, perhaps. Will there be Sambalats and Tobiases and Geshems? Perhaps. But going all the way, praise the Lord. That's why the Lord said, go up the mountain. Well, climbing up the mountain is not an easy task. Go up to the mountain and bring wood. And then bringing it down is even harder. When you're carrying wood on your head, trying to come down the mountain, you might tumble and fall. This is not easy. But God said, if you do it, I will be glorified in it. And I will take pleasure in it. And so we're doing it. And we're doing it by the grace of God, whether hell likes it or not. Glory to God. We are under the regime of the Son, S-U-N, of righteousness. We're governed by the sun, not by the moon. The moon rules over the night. We're not children of the night. The sun rules over the day. We're children of the day. Hallelujah. So powers of darkness cannot rule over us. In fact, John saw the sun-clothed woman with the moon under her feet in Revelation 12. So that means powers of darkness are under her feet. Did not Jesus say the same in Luke 10 and 19? Behold, I give you power over all power of the enemy. Did Jesus acknowledge that the devil has power? Absolutely. Jesus knows the devil has power, but he said, I give you a greater power. That's right. I give you greater power over the power of the enemy. To God be the glory. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's our exhortation today. Let me remind you some of the key points that we have spoken today. Get your finger off that rewind button. Stop looking back over your shoulder all the time. You know, leave the past in the past. He said, forget the old things. I will do a new thing. Look for that new thing that the Lord is about to do in your life. So rounding up here, everything that we have learned today is to tell us to push forward. Push forward and not look back. And don't be discouraged because of whatever setbacks. It can be a setup for a greater comeback. Leave the past behind you. Push forward in the name of the Lord. Hands on the plow. Eyes on the prize. We must keep going forward. And the Lord is with us. You know, the Lord is in front of us, telling me, come with me. And you got to keep following. Come with me. To God be the glory. And come build with me too, he said. And I will take pleasure in it. I'm going to pray over the room. And I thank the Lord God Almighty that he will help every one of you. Remember, you know, the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be confounded. Therefore, have I set my face as a flint and I'm going forward. I will run through troops. I will leap over walls in the name of the Lord God. I will blow them over. Nothing shall by any means hurt you, Jesus said. And you are unstoppable. Devil can't stop what God is doing. So I will do all of my pleasures, saith the Lord. I will do my counsel. My counsel shall stand. And I will do all of my pleasure. That which God has purposed for you in your life is telling you to go forward. It will come to pass. But you must keep moving forward. You got to keep moving forward unless he tells you to stop. You know, sometimes he'll tell you to stop, but sometimes, you know, you've got to move forward. Most of the time, you got to keep moving forward. And even if he tells you to stop, it's not for you to go backwards, it's just for you to get a rest. And then you pick up the journey again. God be the glory. When the pillar of fire, the cloudy pillar went before them, then they went. When they stayed, then they stayed just to rest. wasn't for them to go back. Rest for a bit and then pick up the journey again. So we will not be looking back. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. We're not looking back. The old things are past. New things are happening for us. Father, we thank you for all your children. To God be the glory. Thank you for all your children. We are here in the name of the Lord. We give the Lord the praise and we give the Lord the glory. And we are moving forward. We're moving forward. God is helping us. And forward always, backward never. In the name of Jesus. To God be the glory. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Good morning and good afternoon. That's our exhortation for today. Pressing forward daily, leaving the past behind us. Praise God. I am going to yield my mic here for testimonies or shares or the like. Praise the Lord. Welcome, everybody.
Amen, 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 amen to the word of God. Praise the Lord. I'm jumping in to speak. I hope I can go. Omiabun, is that okay or do you want to go first?
Oh, go ahead, please.
Okay. Good morning, sir. Good morning, ma. Good morning, brethren in the room, and good afternoon. Praise the Lord. I just want to thank God for this word. God speaking directly to us, and I say to me specifically. Thank you, sir. For your labor of love, every day coming here to remind us, to encourage us, to stir us up, to rebuke us sometimes. May God Almighty continue to bless you, sir, and continue to give you grace, a grace that that is beyond human comprehension. That is my prayer for you and everybody in this house. Thank you, sir, for this word. You know, yesterday, his sister was saying how you have helped her faith, taking her to another level of faith. And that is true. Coming here every day has done that for us, for me. Let me speak for myself. Another great thing that listening and being part of this house has done for me, it has given me what I can call rugged faith. In the past, just like you were speaking today, I had to speak because this was like I was looking at my whole life just going through this message yesterday and today. I used to believe that, you know, that when God gave you revelation or a dossier, the Lord, it had to be a smooth sail. God said to go. So, and whenever I faced obstacles, I would shrink, run back, give up, let go. But that was then. I can boldly say that was then, but this is now, even according as you have spoken. Yes, because now I know better. You have taught us never to give up, never to let go. I thank God for this teaching and all the teachings. Because they grow our faith. They tell us, they teach us, they guide us in the right direction. Yeah, I used to be that girl. When obstacles came along the way, I shrink. I go, God, but you said, quickly I let go, not understanding. But today I know better and I give all the glory to God. And I want to say, thank you, sir. Thank you for not giving up. You never give up. If there's anything I've seen you leave out, the devil's got to have another thing coming before you see my pastor let go. If God says so, that settles it, and we're going to do it. And I thank God for that. I thank God I've learned that from you. Well, this morning, I got
so much written down. I just pray that God gives me the grace to be able to share in a way that it will bless the hearts of his people. But I am thoroughly blessed by this word. I'm just going to reiterate some of the things you said yesterday and today so that it will be imprinted in our heart, because we sure need this for the days ahead. Pressing forward. Leave the past behind. That is the admonition for today. We must be on a journey of constant discovery. We must grow. This, I'm just going through the highlights in my notes, so just bear with me. He said we should give time to develop in the things of God, and we should go for gold. We should believe for more. That was yesterday. My summary of yesterday. Today, that we should leave the rewind button alone, leave the past alone, and move forward. One of the things that I highlighted in my notes today is people who give up early will not make it in life. Life is full of roadblocks. God himself put some of them there. I put there to test our faith. And as you were speaking, I remember Abraham. I remember Moses, just like you shared. Joseph. Let's just look at the life of Joseph. God gave a vision. And if I was Joseph, I expect that dream to come to pass right away. Yeah, saw people bowing down to him and all that, his siblings. Look how many years it took for that vision to come to pass. Between that vision and the actualization of it, many, many, many years. Many, many, many trials. Enough to make Joseph give up and never say, God, you must be a liar. If Joseph wanted to be fleshly, like we sometimes would think, oh, God, you must be a liar. Why am I in prison? Instead of being the leader you said I would be. But between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise, many times there are trials, hurdles, a lot of hurdles. So when God gives you us a revelation and we are waiting and going through things and we don't see the fulfillment, it does not mean it wasn't God that said. I used to make that mistake. Where, God, where is it? God, what you said, but not anymore, because now I've been trained better. So when God says it, we better believe that it will come to pass. Hurdles? Yes, there may be hurdles. Most of the time, there will be hurdles. And even while you were speaking, God was telling me, if I just make it all smooth sometimes, then we would think we accomplished that by our own power. We would think, oh yeah, I did it. But when those hurdles come, and you have to fight through those miracles sometimes, then we learn to give all the glory to God. Then we know that it is not by our power, but God did it. Because there is no way we could afford those hurdles by our own power. We are not immune to obstacles. John 16:33 that you quoted. Yes, that's one of my favorite scriptures now. Because we're children of God does not mean that we will not face. He said, in this world, we'll face tribulations. I tell myself that a lot. And I face troubles now. I say, yep, God already told me that. But he also told us, be of good cheer, because I have overcome for you. I want to read 1 Corinthians 10:13. I'm not sure if you read that, but I marked that while you were speaking. And I will go there real quickly, just to buttress the point. I'm going to go to my scriptures, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Please bear with me as I open it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And that scripture says, yes, and I believe you quoted it, you alluded to it and quoted it. There had no temptation taking you, Buki, for such as is common to man, but God is faithful. That is, I underline that in my heart. God is faithful. This God that we serve, he is faithful. who will not suffer me to be tempted above that which I am able, but with the temptation, he also makes a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That is the beautiful God that we serve. With that temptation, so when we're going through those hard times, we should have that confidence. Times and experience have taught me that God is faithful. And with every temptation, he has already made a way of escape. I have learned that, and I'm going to testify to that. At the end of my share, I do have a testimony to that word. I love Isaiah 43, 18 to 19. I'm going to go back there. God says, I will do a new thing. Yes, we may have failed in the past. Your business may have failed in the past. The thing God told you to do may have failed in the past. You may have failed in marriage in the past. That does not mean a new day will not come. God said, I will do a new thing. We better believe it. Just because all hell broke loose does not mean it was not God. I love the fact that you talked about going to school. I will speak to that last. I also have two scriptures that God took my heart to. I'm going to read them because I believe they're important to what to this topic we're sharing. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Let me quickly look for it, please. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 6:9. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate. That is exactly the place I'm going. And when you look up that word effeminate, it talks about being girlish. Being girlish. Some people interpret that to being gay or whatever, but also having that girl-like mindset. You're not strong, girlish. The Bible says the effeminate will not enter that kingdom. Also took me to Revelation 21:8. Let's go there real quickly to buttress the point. While the pastor was preaching, these were the things I was receiving. Revelation 21:8, please. Let me see what that says. Oh, yes. But the fearful and unbelieving. The fearful and unbelieving. Even though God has said to do, to go forward, to do this or to do that. Please let us not allow fear and unbelief every day now. In my prayer watch, I have to pray against fear and unbelief because these are tactics of the devil to sway us from the things that God has put in our hearts to do and to accomplish. The enemy brings fear, just like Pastor was preaching. Ah, do you know that you did that before? It didn't work. How do you think you can do it now? Shut up, devil. The fearful and the unbelieving will not make it to that kingdom, just like we have been told. But if you think you're going to give up on that goal, on that vision, because you face obstacles, then you will not make it. Just like the pastor said, life is full of roadblocks. The temptation that we face are such that is common to man, to all. The beautiful thing in this journey is we have the Lord Jesus Christ, faithful God, that with every temptation, make a way of escape for us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My testimony. I went back to school just like everybody knows here, so at least most people know. And did I face obstacle? Big time, every day. I came here to say one of the days how I sat to take an exam, an important exam. This was my last semester. And we had many exams, but this one exam, we had to take two of them. And the grade will really matter in our overall grade. I came to say, I sat down to take this exam, and for one reason or the other, obstacle, the enemy came. I couldn't get to log into this exam for hours. I had, I think, 2 hours to take this test. And for the first hour and a half, I was struggling to log in, to get to this place where I was supposed to take the exam. We were supposed to take this exam in front of a camera all the time. The camera got me. I got up because I couldn't log in. I had to go upstairs to pick up my phone because we couldn't have phones or anything with us to look, to double check my password. And the camera saw me get up, go somewhere and come back. That's a disqualification. You're not supposed to leave when you start this exam. Horrible mess. That day I was sweating bullets inside air condition. And I thought to myself, what in the world is this? Many thoughts came through my head. You know, just give it up altogether. God, maybe God didn't tell you to do this. Why are you even doing this? You're almost 60. What are you looking for? Blah, 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 blah. So much discouragement. I looked up and I looked down and I said, give up. Am I going to tell my children? This is part of my journey. I'm going somewhere. And this whole thing is part of where I'm going. Why would I give up now? So I decided, you know what? God, you got to do something about this because I don't even understand what happened today. I was heartbroken. I came up here and I talked about it and Pastor said, let's pray for her. And I was prayed for. So I believed. I said, Lord, I don't know how you're going to fix this, but I know you will fix it. Thank God for this knowledge of rugged faith. You never give up because you face obstacles. So I kept going. This was the beginning of the semester. Week 2. Week 11, I had to take a similar exam amongst many, many, many. I'm not going to bore you with details. I took the second exam week 11 of my class. And I still did not do as well as I wanted to. I managed to get at least log in this time. And I took this test. And I still, I was hoping to get like 100%. So it would make up for the other one I didn't take. But I didn't get 100%. It was a very, very difficult test. You couldn't even study for it. There's no curriculum. You just go and take it. So I did. And I was like, dang. And the enemy kept ringing in my head. You're going to have an extra semester. You're going to fail. This blah, blah, blah. And I said, shut up. You are a liar. I am not. I'm done with this school. I'm not going to have an extra semester. And I kept talking to God. Please, Lord, just let me finish so I can serve you better. Because this thing was just a burden. I want to testify to the faithfulness of the Most High God. I just got my certificate from this class. We just got our transcript and everything. I'm preparing for the board exam, the certification to really get my license to practice in this area. And I got my transcript and I looked. This same class that the enemy tried to fail me in. Yeah, we took many, many exams. We wrote many papers, presentations, and everything. I could not believe. I thought to myself, okay, you know, if I don't get a 4.0 like I would always want to, please, I'll pass and get out of this school. This same class that the enemy tried to fill me in, this instructor, I guess this was in the syllabus and I didn't see it. They said, oh, in these exams, if you get up to 70%, then you automatically get an A. Because the test is so difficult that if you could get up to 70%, that means you'd have the knowledge to have an A. And I didn't even know that. I ended this class with an A. This class that the enemy wanted to fail me and wanted me to give up on, I ended it with an A. What if I had given up? I say this to tell us, yes, obstacles will come. Trials and troubles will come. When God says it, we better believe it. We better move ahead and go forward. Because there's a race that we must run. There are victories to be won. My prayer is give me power every hour, Lord Jesus Christ, to be true, to push forward, to press on, and never give up. Because the fearful, the unbelieving, the effeminate have no part in God's kingdom. Praise the Lord. I will mute my mic here. Thank you for allowing me to speak, and I'm sorry I took so much time. God bless everyone. Have a wonderful day. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Wow, wow, wow. Powerful, 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 powerful testimonies. Thank you, Sister Julia. That was a great, great share. Not only the testimony at the end, but also a capture of many key points in the lessons since yesterday. Praise the Lord.